Hello and welcome back to the CTB Show, Season 2, Episode 26, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's 26.
Regardless, it's the, I'll call it the tweener episode because we're about finished with free agency. We don't really hear any chatter on that front. That sort of died down. We're far away from the draft at this point, still about a month away. So it's kind of in the in-between period, but you know what? We were saved with
we're
stuff
actually
to talk
exactly
about today.
A month away.
Exactly a month away. 30 month days away. Today?
Yeah.
Look at that. We were saved with stuff to talk about today because the win totals came out. And that is always an awesome, awesome time of the year. So we're going to talk about that today. But anyways, I'm Thomas Pogranek, as always, joined by Christian Catanacci. Cat, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Pac. I'm doing great. You're right. I like the tweener episode title. I love it. Because that is what it is, right? Like, it feels a little bit too premature to get into the draft talk yet. That feels like maybe next week's show we'll start getting more into the draft talk. But yeah, free agency sort of died down. I mean, there's some storylines that still remain relevant. I use that word in quotations because now you never really know. It could happen tomorrow, it could also happen in June or July, right? So that sort of died down for sure. Win totals. I love it. One of the best things to come out in the offseason. The win totals and the division winners, those are always, they're exciting because they create conversation, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. And we could just jump right into it. Obviously, DraftKings Sportsbook, they released the opening odds for NFL win totals. For those that obviously are listening to this on the audio version, you won't be able to see it, but we'll cover every single one individually, and we'll pretty much give our thoughts. But let's start off really right away. I mean, we both have it in front of us. We're going to talk about who's too high and who's too low before you jump into everything else. What's your initial thoughts here when you see what team sticks out as like, whoa, that team is just way too high?
Yeah, there's quite a few of them, honestly. You look at the top dogs, not really a huge shock who's up there at 11.5. You know, Cincinnati, KC, they've been to back-to-back AFC Championship, Super Bowl, San Fran, always there, no matter who's under center. You just drop one below, though, and you have the Buffalo Bills at 10.5, rightfully so. Again, they've been in a similar sort of category as the Chiefs and the Bengals in terms of success in the AFC. You got the Eagles, who just had a phenomenal, phenomenal season. I know they lost a ton on defense, but, you know, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, main core on offense is still intact. To pair Jacksonville with those two teams and to suggest that Jacksonville is some sort of a top six team in the NFL, I don't really know if I'm buying that. Yes, I think they'll be a little bit better this year. You got Calvin Ridley, the first number zero in NFL history, by the way, which is pretty cool. He's going to be in there with Trevor Lawrence. You expect Trevor Lawrence to get a little bit better. They had a great back half of the 2022 season, but was that just a hot streak, or is that what we're going to see in all of 2023? Because they started off the season really, really rough last year, and I don't know. I think I need to see a little bit more before crowning them above the other teams in the AFC, like your, you know, Los Angeles Chargers. I know they beat them in the playoffs, but regardless, we're talking about a whole season here. Miami Dolphins. I guess you can even throw the Baltimore Ravens in that sort of second tier. Depends who's the quarterback, obviously. I think we need to see a little bit more before crowning Jacksonville as sort of a tier above them. You did make a great point. We were talking about this a couple days ago when we first saw these. The division helps a lot.
Yes.
And you can see a pathway that it's very realistic that they win 5, maybe even 6 games in their division alone. So that helps them, but I do think with now a first-place schedule, they're going to have a little bit of a tougher time in some of the other games.
Yeah, in the outer division games, right?
Yeah. But I guess to end the whole ramble here, Jacksonville to me at 10.5. I like what they're building. Seems a little bit premature.
Yeah, for me, to be honest, it feels like one of those lines where it's like, oh, like that's tough because, I mean, like you mentioned, the whole division thing, like they could go 6-0. Realistically, they can very well go 6-0, right? And that just leaves them with just 5 games, right, to get over that number. But, I mean, like, if I had to make a prediction right now, I feel like that would be sort of where they end up, like around 10, 11 wins, which is very, very accurate. if for just like preseason win totals. But I mean, you definitely make a point because this was a team that in the first half of the season was bad, right? Like they had to go down the stretch. They what, like 7-1 or 6-2 or something like that, I mean, whatever.
You can also attribute that to new head coach,
of course,
young quarterback.
Of course.
The progression over the season was super encouraging.
Yes. Like, and Trevor Lawrence is like, he's very good,
exactly.
Right?
Like, I don't mean to sound like a hater and saying, like, oh, 10.5. They're going to win 8 games this year. Like, no, not at all. I expect Jacksonville to win the division. I will pick them to win the division. I assume they'll be pretty heavy favorites from a betting standpoint to win the division. It's just more so that they were above the teams under them.
Like, yes, I said, absolutely.
Los Angeles, you know, Miami, even Cleveland and the Jets, who, I mean, I have my own opinions about them. But regardless, that's sort of my first thing that sort of shot out at me when I looked at these was the Jaguars.
Yeah. I'm going to go down a little bit more to the teams that are just slightly below it at 9.5 here. And I look at the Saints and I see the Saints at 9.5. And man, I don't know if I'm being a little too harsh. Everyone knows my opinion on Derek Carr, but like, what did the team necessarily do to become a 10-win team? I don't know. It's an aging roster. They're missing Alvin Kamara for a couple of games. I mean, it's pretty much a guarantee at that point. Michael Thomas, again, are you really sure this guy's going to play a full season?
They already said he's hurt. Like,
yeah,
he's hurt right now.
He is.
He won't be ready.
Right? And I don't know. To touch double digits, there's no way I see the Saints going over here. I mean, put it down in your save it if you want to, but I'm willing to go back to this, and I can say this confidently. I mean, as March 28, 2023, and the season doesn't start until 7 months from now, I feel pretty confident that Saints won't be going over. I don't know. Like I said, I don't see what they did this offseason to necessarily be like, oh, this is a double-digit team. So 9.5, it just seems way too high for me.
The fact that they're the fourth highest NFC team, I mean, I get the logic behind that. Vegas is pretty much saying we expect them to win the division, which, fair, I think they could. They could win the division. First of all, I don't know if we can confidently say that the New Orleans Saints got better in free agency. Derek Carr, I've always said good, not great. To me, he just doesn't move the needle. Yeah, he's probably the best quarterback in that division, but I still expect them to struggle against Atlanta, struggle against Tampa Bay. Carolina, we'll see how they do in the draft, but I expect them to be pretty competitive as well. So I'm not really big on the Saints either. Like some of the teams in the same category with 9.5 wins there, I expect them to compete for the Super Bowl.
Right? Like you got Dallas.
Like Dallas won, what, 12 games last year?
12 games.
And they're the same... The same sort of level there.
You got Detroit. You got Miami. You got the Jets if they get Rodgers. Like, you got the Chargers. Like, those teams are way better than the Saints. They're way better than the Saints.
Yeah, I just...
Like, if they played, they would be 5 or 6 point favorites on a neutral field. 100%.
And it's, to me, like, the head coach plays a factor as well. And year one at Dennis Allen wasn't all that great. I'm not the biggest fan. I don't know if he's necessarily the guy to steer the ship. And what I mean really by that is, like, can he overcome what this roster lacks? And I think we're getting to an era now where it's starting to lack a lot. Like you said, it's aging talent.
It's aging, yes.
It no longer has this defense that can sort of anchor it. And, I mean, offense, yeah, you know, signing Jamal Williams was nice. Maybe you form this nice rushing attack. But I could see things going south for New Orleans. And I can see them having a very, very similar season to what they did last year.
Honestly. Yeah, and just like, I mean, it's clear that Vegas thinks that they're going to win the division. Obviously, they're the highest in the NFC South. They're the highest. They have the highest win total, right? But like this team, sure, they could win the division, but they're not going to win the division at 10 wins or 9 wins. They could win the division at 7, right? And that's, I mean, again, that's 2 wins total underneath the presume, obviously, this is just the initial sort of lines here at 9.5, but that was, at least to me, I saw it and I was like, there's no way the Saints belong in the 9.5 group with teams like Dallas, teams like Detroit, the Chargers, Miami, the Jets. I mean, to me, it just feels a little bit too rich.
Cleveland feels a little higher in there too, at 9.5.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see, expecting year two of Deshaun.
Like, Deshaun came in midway through the season.
He hasn't played in 2 years.
That was, I guess, a little bit tough, but it really, really didn't look good. I mean, I honestly think they got worse once Deshaun came in. I think they were better with Jacoby Brissett. I don't obviously expect that again next year, but it's a tough division. Like, you got the Steelers, year two of their young core, might be a little bit better. As long as they have Tomlin, they're always going to be competitive. Ravens, again, there's just such a wild card at this point. We don't even know what to talk about. I expect Lamar to be back. I've said this for so long now, but regardless. And then, of course, you have the Bengals, who just look like world beaters in that AFC North right now. So Cleveland might be a little bit high as well, but I think definitely New Orleans, you make a great point. It's to me, it's a stronger point in the sense that, like, I'm very, very confident that they're going to go under, whereas sort of my whole spiel on the Jags was just more so, like, maybe crowning them too early. I see it. It's possible, but I just think it might be a little bit premature. But anyways, let's start bottom up. We'll go through each and every team, all 32, and we're just going to give our prediction whether it's going to go over or under. I can't remember if we did this last year or not, but it's more so a fun activity to go and look back, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
6-7 months from now when we're midway through the season and some of them are going to be way off. I mean, just off of the top of my head, the Jets, the Falcons, and the Seahawks had hit their overs last season.
Yeah, by
in week 9, something like that. So
yeah, I think even less than that.
Yeah, there's always...
Seattle's was like 4.5 or 5.5.
So there's always some big surprises. But let's just get right into it. We'll start off. The lowest total this year is actually 5.5. It's split between two teams. We'll start off with one of them. That is the Arizona Cardinals. Are they going over or under 5.5?
I think I could take the under here. It just feels... I mean, I'm not going to say it feels high because 5.5 isn't necessarily the highest number. But with the uncertainty with Kyler Murray and new head coach, new scheme, DeAndre Hopkins probably not going to be there next year, I can pretty confidently say at least that they'll be under here.
You said all the logical answers. Like you said, who knows how long Kyler's going to be out. I'll give you more of the joking answer. As soon as I saw that intro video of their new head coach, Jonathan Gannon, doing the whole pew, 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 that thing, whatever that was, you could have put this at 0.5 and I would have taken the under.
So you're a year from Pac here. They're going 0-17 next year.
Like, I have a hard time imagining 56 professional athletes gearing up to play a tough physical game for that guy. It's harsh, I know, sorry. He's obviously an accomplished coach. He's one of 32 men in the world who coach a professional football team at the highest level. But that video...
could have done a better
job. I'll never forget it.
And he could have done a better job there.
Yeah, could have. You know, first impressions stick with me, and I'm not too high on that one. Anyways, we'll move on. The Houston Texans at 5.5. Over or under?
I actually sort of feel like the over is probably the better bet here. Yeah. Because, again, you're expecting the rookie quarterback to at least play a significant amount of snaps, whether that's half the season or three quarters of the season. Heck, he could play the whole season. And, I mean, if you're going to bet on a young, promising guy to maybe come in and give a franchise a spark, I think the better bet is probably the over here. I mean, it feels like probably a 6-win team. If the quarterback that they draft is the right one and he shows the right strides, I feel like they probably can win 6 games. 7 games too. I mean, I would probably take the over.
Yeah, you're buying the ceiling with the Texans. Yes. And a lot of people are big on D'Amico Ryans, and I am as well. I think whether we see it in year one, whether we see it in year two, I think this is finally someone who can potentially be a long-term guy for Houston, which they haven't had in so long. I'm on board with the Texans. I'm on board with their young roster, the moves that they've made. And I think we'll see who's under center next year. I mean, Bryce Young could be very, very exciting. Decent division in terms of opportunity for them to rack up wins. Very, very tough conference, though. I'm still going to go with the over, though. I think they might be better than people are expecting.
Yeah, I think
even
so too.
Even if it's Davis Mills who plays a lot, if he's
for
like,
sure.
is that still their second quarterback at this point? They're going to keep him there. Even if it's him, I think they'll surprise some teams next year. So I'll take the over as well. We'll move on to, there's two teams listed at 6.5 wins, the Indianapolis Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll start off with the Colts. Another team with a new head coach.
Yes.
Taking the over or the under?
I'm going to take the under here. This feels like a team that could, I mean, as we stand right now, obviously, that's assuming that this team is going to probably swing and miss in the draft at quarterback. It doesn't seem likely that they'll move up one spot as of right now, and it doesn't seem like they're going to be, I mean, who knows? This team could trade for Lamar for all we know. But as of right now, I'm going to take the under here. I think this is a team that's in the that will be in the running for the first overall pick next year.
I'm with you, too. I got to stop agreeing with you here because I know we're going to agree on the next one, too, because I know you're taking the over on the Bucks, and, I mean, I think I'm going to, too. But Colts, I just, to me, this is a, I'm absolutely blanking on his name right now, the USC quarterback.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams. Wow. This is, to me, a Caleb Williams landing spot, and I just, they need something. I always said, like, if your best player is your running back, you're in trouble. And Jonathan Taylor is the face of their franchise. You can only run, you know, run him into the ground for so long. So I'm going to take the under. I think it might be a long, long season in Indianapolis. And that staff is going to have to prove itself with me as well. We'll go on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 6.5 might be the most disrespectful win total for any team here. Like, To really, I don't know, that they're a bottom four team?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, what did they... Outside, okay, they lost Tom Brady, but the roster... And they lost Devin Smith, the tackle. But, like, the roster's still pretty good. They brought back Jamel Dean, Devin White. I don't know, man. I'm probably going to take this the over pretty comfortable here. Like, even if this is a 7-8 win team... I don't know, 6.5, like, there's no way this is a bottom four team in the NFL. There's no way.
I agree. I just, like, I don't think, like, to suggest that the New Orleans Saints are three full games better than Tampa Bay
there's
Buccaneers
no shot.
Is ridiculous.
There's no shot.
I'm all over this over two, and, I mean, I don't even have much else to say. I do think, like, I expect Tampa to compete for the division next year. I expect all four teams to really compete for the division, and I think you can order all four in any which way, and I would sort of believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that close in this division.
For sure.
It's weak, but they're all collectively weak. And I think Tampa needs a little bit more respect. I'll take the over. I think Baker is in a good position to sort of revive his career. Like, this guy's thrown to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I think we're forgetting the talent that's around
Absolutely.
Him. We'll move on. There's a ton of teams at the 7.5 mark. We'll start sticking in the same division, the NFC South, with the Atlanta Falcons. 7.5 wins.
Seven and a half feels pretty much around that number. I'd probably take the under because I think they're going to roll with Ritter. So I'll take the under 7.5 here.
I feel like Vegas, if they were to listen to this and just hear us agreeing on everything, they know.
They're licking their chops.
They got us. Yeah, they got us because they got us
for sure.
The public's always wrong, and I don't know. When I hear stuff like Desmond Ridder, we're going to roll with him. I know he's young and it takes some time for these quarterbacks, but he just hasn't shown me anything to make me confident. To win close to half your games in the NFL is a tall task, especially when you don't have anything really that special on defense. I'm going to take the under with Atlanta. We'll sort of start to rapid fire through these. Carolina Panthers, we still don't know a lot about this team.
I'm taking the over without a doubt, to be honest.
I'm gonna take the under.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that this team, this defense, so young. I mean, I know they lost DJ Moore, but you're getting the best quarterback in the draft. I mean, I'd hope they draft the best quarterback in the draft. But again, Frank Reich, good head coach, got veteran receivers, and now in Adam Thielen and DJ Chark, it just feels like a team that could probably string together 8 wins, 9 wins in a bad division. I don't know. Maybe that's wishful thinking. I'm probably gonna take the over here.
I think there's just going to be I think we'll see a team similar to the season that Jacksonville had last year.
Yeah.
Might start off really rough. Who knows if they're even going to start their quarterback right away. Like, I mean, this is very...
Well, I think they have to. Like, it seems like they're setting up to start the rookie guy. But you're right. There's no guarantee. At least there's no guarantee. But if you take a guy number one, you're probably going to start in week one.
That's fair. I'm going to take the under for now. But I do think this is going to be close. Like, if I were to predict, I'd probably pick them
7-8 wins.
Seven wins. So yeah. It's close. Chicago Bears, most improved team by far, as everyone was saying. Big offseason. They're at 7.5 as well. What did they win? 3 games last year?
Yeah. I think this feels about right. Like, I feel like they Chicago next year feels like a 7-win team, maybe an 8-win team. Again, they could very much be way better than that, right? Like this could be a team that you could get year three Fields and with weapons and a bolstered offensive line. Like this could be a team that wins maybe double digit games. Obviously, that's a long shot, but I'm saying they haven't proved that much. But I feel like maybe the pessimistic answer is probably take the under here. I feel kind of like 7-8 wins is reasonable as of today. But I'd probably take the under.
I'm going to take the under as well. I'll buy the high ceiling from you, but it's a situation where I got to see it first.
Yeah.
Did they get him quite enough weapons to compete right away? I don't know. I'm a Justin Fields guy. I think he has a nice future in this league, but I think it might take a little bit more time. Matt Eberflus, is he the guy to maximize Justin Fields? That I don't still know. I need to see their defense come together and play. I just need to see a little bit more from the Bears, but I like what they're building. I'm still going to take the under, unfortunately. Sorry, Bears fans. Green Bay Packers up next.
Like, I feel like you got to take the ceiling with the Packers.
Yeah, here. I want the over with the Packers.
Yeah, same with me. I feel like the Packers just makes sense to take the over.
If you're a Bears fan and you're listening, you're shutting right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's yeah. Like a you're unsubscribing.
Whammy.
You're unsubscribing.
Double whammy. You just rip the Bears. Who, you know, Justin Fields has shown us.
No, we've given the Bears some love
on
the show.
We have. And I mean, Justin Fields, we praised them.
Yeah, 7 or 8 wins is definitely an improvement from last year, for sure. Like, you're improving. Yeah. You're not going to go 3 wins to 13.
But then this new guy, Jordan Love, who, you know, he's done jack squat and then he played 3 games, comes on. We're like, you got to take the over with the Packers, man. You have to. You got to buy the ceiling with the Pack. But, I mean, it's true. Like, this team was competing in conference championships not too long ago. I know a very big part of that and a very big reason of that is gone, but you still got Matt LaFleur. You still got, you know, some star players on defense. Aaron Jones back there. A.J. Dillon are going to take a lot of weight off of Jordan Love's shoulders, and Jordan Love looked pretty good in when he was called upon last year. So I'm gonna take the over with the Packers. All right, Los Angeles Rams are up next. I've called them the weirdest team, the hardest team to predict. What they did in free agency didn't clarify really anything in my head. They're listed at 7.5 wins, and I want to take the over. Sean McVay, I mean, the hangover is over.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're like it does. Again, this is another team that has an incredibly high ceiling, but they have huge question marks. Like, is Matthew Stafford healthy?
Okay,
because they haven't said. I almost cursed on the show, and that we don't do that. But they haven't said nothing about Matthew Stafford's health, about his status. Nothing. Like, they just let us know that.
But to me, that's good. It means that he's fine.
But is that good? I don't know. It's like, if he was good, wouldn't you say, oh yeah, he's healthy, ready to go? They haven't said nothing.
I'll say this though, and now we're using the word if, which becomes obviously a hypothetical. But let's say Matthew Stafford is healthy. A full season of Matthew Stafford, I cannot see a way that they finish anywhere less than second in their division. Which to me, you know, they're going to win 8 games. We're talking only 8 games here. You're going to have a losing record. I think they can do it. I'm going to take the over. Obviously, if Stafford goes down, this you can drop his total to 4.5, and I might take the under. But I can take the over for now. New England Patriots, 7.5. They went out. They got some weapons for Mac Jones. Is it enough? Will they win more than 7.5 games next year? What do you think?
I'm probably taking the under here. Right? It just feels... I don't know. Like, they're by far the worst. Especially if the Jets get Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're looking at the Patriots as a team that is by far the worst team in the division. So, I don't know. I'd probably take under 7.5 here for sure with the Patriots.
You got to show me just one aspect of their roster where they have the advantage in that division. I don't think it exists. You can say maybe their special teams is top notch.
Good yeah, but that's
you.
Not going to win you.
It's not enough. I'm going to take the under as well. Tennessee Titans, 7.5. I think Tennessee could have a disastrous season next year. But also, I want to back that up by saying, I feel like we've all been saying that for the past couple of years. You got Mike Vrabel back
there.
They're
still
always
competitive.
Yeah. And let's not forget, when Ryan Tannehill was healthy last year, they were on track to easily win the division. So The Derrick Henry rumors, I don't know if they're going to go away. We'll see how long those persist. If he's still on the team past the draft, I assume they're going to go into the season with him.
I like the over here, personally. Like, I'd still think that the second best team in that division, which if you realistically have that logic, you'd assume that they could win probably 8-9 games. And again, they have a top-tier coach, pretty solid defense. They still have Derrick Henry. Again, if he's off the team, that's a different story. But I assume that he's going to be on the team. So I'm aiming at probably 8 or 9 wins for this Tennessee team. So that leads me to take the over.
I definitely don't think that they're going to make the playoffs. The AFC is just too good. But I'm going to take the under. And I don't really like it. This is one of the harder ones for me because Mike Vrabel is just so proven. But I can take the under. Move to one of the easier ones for me. The Washington Commanders listed at 7.5. Sorry, guys. Not buying how they're building their roster. We're going to talk about Sam Howell in a little bit and their sort of approach to the quarterback position. But to me, you're going into next season with your hands tied together. I'm taking the under. That division is getting tougher. It was already a three-headed monster last year, and I expect that to continue. Good luck, Commanders fans. You need way, way more than two star defensive tackles to win football games.
Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about that. I'm going to take the under, and we move on.
I mean, easy. I saw you were getting into it with some Commanders fans in the
I think I'm public enemy number one for Commanders
fans.
You know
what? The Raiders fans used to hate us, and I think we've sort of shifted away from that, and now the Commanders fans hate us. Trend, you know, what have the Raiders done in the last couple of years? Nothing. Maybe our takes are somewhat decent when it comes to the Vegas Raiders, and I think they're the same when it comes to the Commanders. Anyways, that's it for the 7.5. We're on to the 8.5. Baltimore Ravens are the new ultimate wild card. I don't really want to waste any more.
Same with me.
Talking about that, Lamar.
And maybe it like choked up when you said the Ravens. Yeah. Like,
I'm going to say this. Choke. Taking the over. That's it.
Yeah, I'm taking the over too, to be honest. It just makes too much sense.
Moving on. Give me over. The Denver Broncos. the worst. They had one of the worst. If you consider expectation, relative to expectation, last season was one of the worst years in NFL history for a team. They now have Sean Payton. There's hope that he can rejuvenate Russell Wilson. Can they win 9 games in a tough division and an even tougher conference?
I'm taking the under.
I am too. I think it's going to be relatively not as bad.
No, it won't be as bad. But I still don't think like the Chargers are still much better than they are. The Chiefs are still much better than they are. Like, I see this team realistically as a 7-8 win team, and that's, for me, would fall in the under category, right? I don't think this team's going to be the worst team in the NFL like they were last year. I mean, you can make the argument, but I just don't see it. I don't know. I don't see... You're betting on Sean Payton rejuvenating, which it could happen, but are they going to win more than 8 games? That's a question mark. Because 9-8, like, are they going to go 9-8? I don't know. I don't see... I think 7-8 wins is just sort of the sweet spot for the Broncos.
I think the stat last year was if they just scored 18 or 19 points in every single game, they would have had a ridiculously good record. Yeah. I think it's a little bit unfair to expect the same level from their defense.
That's the hardest thing to replicate.
I do think their offense is going to be better. I expect Russell Wilson to be better than what he was, which, let's be honest, I think if I was under center last year, it wouldn't have been hard to match Russell Wilson's level. But yeah, I'm going to go with, I'm going to take the under as well. Might seem a little harsh. Denver fans, I understand the sense of optimism. I'm going to take the under. Minnesota Vikings up next. This one feels really low. I mean, this team won 13 games last year. I know a ton of them were by one scores. I think they're going to sort of come back to earth a little bit. But to suggest they're only going to win 9 games, I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, this is easy to me. I'm actually going to, right after the show, I'm going to take that line at 8.5 because I think it's just, like, again, you mentioned it. This team won 13 games last year. There's no way that they're going to win 5 less. Like, I get it. They were all by one score, but that's also the sign of a good football team, right? Like, they're winning close games. So I'm going to take the over. I think I feel pretty comfortable with that. The Giants also listed at 8.5, which is another team that's, again, it's a good team. I just struggle to see what exactly the ceiling is of their team with Daniel Jones under center. Is he going to take another stride next year, or is he going to take a step back, sort of come back to earth again? That is the biggest question mark, and I think that's why they're listed here at 8.5. And it leads me to think they probably could win around 8 or 9 games, so I think this is definitely a reasonable sort of line. I feel like saying the under is a little bit harsh, but I don't see it with Daniel Jones to think that he's going to take another step next year. He could, because Brian Daboll is just a quarterback whisperer, but feels like a little bit too high. I feel like 8 wins is like probably where they're going to end up.
This one is hard. I do think they sort of capitalized on a weak conference last year.
Yes.
They're still in a conference that you can even argue it's even weaker. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is gone. Tom Brady's gone. It's going to be very telling where this team truly stands with how they do in their division.
Yes.
If they're still getting, you know, trampled by the Cowboys and the Eagles, I'm not going to be very confident in this team. You know, I'm going to take the over, but I do think like it's going to be one that you're sweating out. I wouldn't bet this.
No way.
I definitely would not bet this. I think you'll be sweating on your couch week 18 if you take either or the over or the under. I think it's going to come down to the wire. Up next, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, if you're a trends guy, you take the over and you run. You don't even think about it because Mike Tomlin is Mr. Winning Season. Last year, there was a time the Steelers looked like the worst team in football. What does he do? He rips off, 7 out of his last 9, almost gets them into the playoffs. The excuses are a little less prevalent this year because Kenny Pickett's not a rookie anymore. Najee Harris is in third year. If you have TJ Watt all season, you should be somewhat competitive. With that, I'm going to take the under. There are just too many good teams in the AFC.
Oh, we're both going to go against the trend here, eh? I got to take the under here, too.
It's just, like, Mike Tomlin's a Hall of Fame coach. It's too hard to...
It's got to end. It's got to end. It has to end. And with that being said, it's not going to end next year, but we're both taking the under.
Yeah. We'll probably both be wrong. Anyways, Seattle Seahawks, 8.5. They were the fairy tale of last season, getting into the playoffs. Geno Smith, they give him all this money. Can they keep it going in year two?
I think this falls really on Geno, right? Like, is Geno going to replicate his season again? Even if he's 80% of what he was last year, this team's, again, they have the 5th overall pick here. Like, they have a chance to get a really, really good player here, especially if there's 3 quarterbacks that go in the top 3 or top 4. You could be potentially getting one of the top 2 best players in the whole draft from a position, from a non-quarterback standpoint. So this is a team that could be very good next year. And they had a good free agency period. The Draymond Jones is a very good player. I'm probably going to take the over here. I feel like 9 wins is definitely achievable for them. Obviously, this falls sort of on Geno Smith, but I think I feel pretty comfortable with the over here.
This is another one that I wouldn't bet it.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet it either.
It's hard because I do expect them to be in every game.
Yes.
But I could easily see them being the team that, you know what, they're better than their record says, but they're just having a tough season because they're falling a little too short. Maybe it's because of quarterback play and key moments from Geno Smith, or maybe they just don't have quite enough star power. They have a very good young core, and like you said, they're going to build on that in the draft now. And Pete Carroll, I mean, no matter how much he gets up there in age, he shows that he can still get it done at an elite level and get the most out of his players. If I could pass on some, I would pass on this.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet it.
I'm going to take the under, though. I think you're asking a lot of Geno Smith to replicate what he did last season. If he does it, more power to him. Fantastic. He's been a great story. I'm going to take the under, though. All right, we're more than halfway through. Moving on to some of the better teams now in the NFL. We're on to the 9.5 win total teams.
You were about to say the better teams in the NFL, but this tier also has the Saints, the Cleveland Browns, so I don't know necessarily
who is expected to be the better teams in the NFL, however you sort of gauge that. Do you want to just start off with the Saints then? We can just skip it. We talked about them
already. Saints under.
Under. We don't have to talk about them anymore. Cleveland Browns, I'm also going to take the under.
Under. Yeah. I don't even have to talk, to be honest. I'm taking the under.
We'll move on to your Dallas Cowboys then.
Over. Like, come on. 9.5? How did they get worse?
This would be a great, like, I wish we sort of almost had some sort of unbiased guest, someone we don't know.
Because everyone's going to call me a homer, but I'm not a homer.
And I think, like, do we agree with each other too much, or is this the consensus? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. You're right, because we do agree.
Because I feel like a lot of times we have differing views on certain topics in the NFL.
Yeah.
But maybe just with the way we view certain teams going to next season, like, are we in the minority with a lot of these? Are we agreeing, and do we sound stupid because of it, or is everyone else agreeing with us? I'm super curious.
I don't think everybody agrees with us. I just think we are sort of on the same wavelength when it comes to some stuff. And this specifically, I mean, we've been off on a couple of them, like just a few, but
and like we're gonna be wrong on a ton of these.
Yeah, of course we're gonna be wrong for sure, absolutely. But I don't know, like you look at the Cowboys at 9.5. I don't see them be. Again, like their biggest concerns last year, they sort of covered up. I don't know. To think that they're gonna drop from. I still think this team's a lock to win at least double digits next year.
Said it last week. If I were to pick right now, especially from a betting standpoint, where you get odds and you get value in teams, I would pick the Cowboys to win the division.
Yeah, again with that trend too. Like, yeah, there hasn't been a repeat winner in like the last 20 years.
You know, the Eagles lost a lot. Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. Maybe he'll have another strong season, but to suggest that he's going to be like 14-1 as a starter, it's tough. The hardest thing to do in the NFL is be consistent.
Yeah.
And that's what makes Brady and Belichick's run the greatest run potentially in all of North American sports ever. It's demanding. It's a lot to ask. So I'm going to take whatever. We spent 2 seconds each on the Saints and the Browns and spent 5 minutes on the Cowboys. Move on to the Lions. And I'll be relatively short here, too. I'm going to take the under. Sorry, Lions fans. It was Pox Lions last year.
It was Pox Lions.
And now it's the quote from Pox on the Lions is, pump the brakes on the Detroit Lions. Because guess what? They're still that fun team. They're energetic. You root for them. But are they truly, truly anything more than just a feel-good story? Am I ready to say that they're true contenders in the NFC?
I don't think they're true contenders, but I'm still going to take the over.
It's only 10 wins, actually.
Like, 10 wins. I don't know. I think they get 10
wins.
Win?
Did they win 9 games last year? 8?
I think something like that.
They could have won
a lot
more.
They're pretty good. Again, Jared Goff is a question mark, too, because he played great last year. He played very good. And I still think he's a top quarterback. Like, I'm not going to say this guy's a top 10 quarterback, but you're putting this guy, I mean, maybe, who knows? Actually, there's not that many, not that I said that, like, there's not that many great quarterbacks. So, like, you probably could make the argument. You could sell me, at least, if you have Jared Goff ranked around 10. I mean, I'm not going to, I'm probably going to debate you on it, but I'm not going to, like, be like, oh, you're nuts. Regardless, I'm probably going to take the over here. Again, 10 wins feels doable. For the Detroit Lions here. It feels doable.
It's just so funny how we view quarterbacks in the NFL. When Goff was traded for Stafford, the first thing everybody
like, oh,
did...
this guy's a wad.
Yeah, and everyone looked at his contract and said, when can Detroit cut him and not, you know, take a lot of dead money and then draft their next guy? Now, and in between this period, between then and now, Goff started, what, 0-8, 0-9 last year?
Yeah.
This year, they started off, they were terrible too. I guess they were good offensively. And now they were this feel-good story down the stretch, and now everyone's just like, oh, Jared Goff's a top 4 quarterback in the NFC. I like Jared Goff. It's a good arc in terms of restoring his name in the NFL. Like, this guy was a first overall pick.
Yeah.
He took the Rams. I'm not going to say he took the Rams to the Super Bowl, but he was the quarterback for the Rams when they were very, very good a couple years ago. I'm gonna still take the under. I just think we should temper our expectations with the Lions because...
That's fair.
They're still... To me, they're still not, they just don't quite have that, I don't fear them quite yet, but I think they're definitely building in the right direction.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be a good team next year.
That's fair.
The Los Angeles Chargers are up next.
This is a team where I'm probably going to take the over here, but I would not be shocked if they go under, right?
The classic let you down Chargers.
Right? So.
I do think they may have shot themselves in the foot in the sense that, what did they accomplish by keeping Brandon Staley? Are they just burning years of Justin Herbert now?
That's where I'm struggling.
Because
here,
if they have another year where they're good, maybe they make the playoffs, but they just quite can't, you know, muster anything up when it matters. It's disappointment, right? So I probably wouldn't bet this one.
Yeah,
last year I picked the Chargers to win the Super Bowl because
they have the
players that can take them there, but. Whatever. I guess I'm going to take the under. I don't know. It's tough. You know what?
It's a pass. It really is a pass.
Now we're doing passes. Okay, Miami over. We don't even need to talk about the Dolphins.
I'm going with you over here with, yes, with the Dolphins.
That's right. Saints, we already discussed. The Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. 9.5 wins.
Assuming they get Rodgers, they think they can win 10 games.
I've been the captain of the ship of, I think, I don't fear the Jets even with Aaron Rodgers. And I think I can definitely eat my words. I think they'll be good with Rodgers. You know what? I'm going to take the over. I'll 10 wins.
They should be able to get 10 wins with Rodgers.
Especially considering they won, what, 7 games last year? And they were like 7-5 at one point with just horrendous quarterback play. So you know what? I'll sort of go with the consensus and take the over because I assume everyone will take the over on that one. All right, we got six teams left.
We'll make it quick. Don't worry.
We'll make it quick. All right. We're going to run through these pretty quickly. Buffalo Bills, 10.5. Under.
Yeah, I think 10 wins. I think 9, 10 wins. Again, I stand by this. I think Buffalo missed their opportunity to win the Super Bowl 2 years ago when they blew that game against the Chiefs. I'm not even going to take this. I don't think this team's going to win the division. I think it's either going to be the Dolphins or the Jets. Not to say that the Bills are going to be a bad team. I just think they're more of a 10-win team as opposed to an 11, 12, 13-win team this year.
I've said this for the past couple of years. The gap between the Bills and it's been the Dolphins has always been smaller than the public perceived. I do think that they're going to be in a long, long battle this year to win the division. But I also think we're all putting too much stock into that last playoff game against the Bengals where they were really, really outclassed. I'm still going to take the over with the Buffalo Bills. I think they'll win 11 games. I don't think that's that much of a stretch for Josh Allen. And the Bills love to just beat up on bad teams. I mean, just obliterate them. So we're going to take the over with the Bills. Jaguars, I'm on the under.
Yeah, I assume you're on the under. I'm going to take the over. I think Jacksonville just going to win their division pretty easily, so it leaves them some leeway.
All right, Philly, 10.5.
I'm also going to take the over here. I think this is still probably an 11-12-win team, despite the losses that they had. But I wouldn't be shocked if they're probably settle around 10 wins. I'm going to take the over here, though.
I'm going to take the over as well, even though I did say that I'd pick Dallas to win the division.
Well, I just think those two teams are the top two teams in the conference. I assume that's not
one's
going
to be 13-4 and one's going to be 12-5, and that's how the season's going to end if I were to sort of project it out right now. I'm on the over. All right, the Cincinnati Bengals are the first team we'll discuss with a win total of 11.5, over or under.
Just
thinking about it.
It's tough.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go.
Under.
Yeah.
Like, this division's getting better. The AFC is a gauntlet. You got games against the Chiefs. You got games against the Bills. Whoever you play in your NFC game is a first-place winner. Like, it's a tough schedule. I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under, too, Pac. I think this team is very good. I haven't actually picked to win the Super Bowl next year, but it just feels like, again, it's a tough. That's not to say, I'm not going to take the under here and not to say that they could go on and win the Super Bowl because I haven't picked winning the Super Bowl. It just feels like 11 wins is probably the reasonable bet. So I'm going to go with the under.
All right, Kansas City Chiefs.
Over.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, right? 12, 13 wins.
Think about who we're talking about over here, Patty Mahomes. San Francisco 49ers, they're listed at 11.5. They're a day one starter, maybe Brock Purdy, and maybe Trey Lance, and it could be Sammy Darnold, who I just praised last week. And you know what? I thought when we posted that clip, people were going to tear me apart. There are actually some people who agreed. With me. So that was nice. San Francisco, 11.5, over or under?
I'm going to take the under just because I don't know who's going to start quarterback for them. And not to say this team, I'm still probably going to take this team to win the division, but 11.5 wins feels a little bit high.
I do think the under is the smartest bet, and there is a scenario where things can go south with the 49ers just because of how volatile their quarterback situation is. I'm going to go with the under as well. That wraps up all 32. Took way longer than we expected. I think we agreed with one another on maybe 25 of those 32 picks.
It felt like probably an 85%.
I think we gave enough of our reasoning behind these where it's warranted. But anyways, I would love to. We're going to put something out on the Instagram about this because I would love to hear what everyone else thinks.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of variety when it comes to, obviously everyone's going to say that their team goes, oh yeah, my team's going the over, but and then their rivals going the under, but it's interesting. It's definitely a discussion topic for sure. I mean, we spent 30 minutes on discussing it. So That just shows you that there's, even though 30 minutes of it was majority of us agreeing with each other, yeah. It's definitely worth the discussion for sure.
All right. As much time as we spent on those win totals, it wouldn't be a true podcast episode if we didn't talk about Lamar Jackson. Now we're going to do our best.
Today. I think this is 4 weeks straight that we talked about maybe Lamar even Jackson.
More, but this is a little different. We're not really talking about him and the Ravens and what's going on because everything has possibly been said about that at this point. We're going to talk about the teams who aren't in on Lamar Jackson. And this week was the... What is it? Some sort of coaching meeting. The owners are there. The GMs are there. The coaches are there. And they all commented. And the reporters are asking, and rightfully so, about Lamar Jackson. And three teams in particular now seem like the favorites, the outliers who would target him. And that's the Washington Commanders, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Colts have an excuse because they're picking fourth in the draft. So they can very well get a young star and just build around him. The Falcons and the Commanders, though, are very, very interesting because they're just frankly not interested. And they've publicly said, like, we don't want this guy. Not we don't want him, but, like, we're not going to explore him. And this is coming from teams that are set to start Sam Howell, who was a fifth-round pick, and Desmond Ridder, who was, what, a third, fourth-round pick last year?
It's so outrageous to me. Like, especially the Falcons to come out and publicly say, to publicly tweet. They tweeted it out. Like, they tweeted it. To publicly say you're not going after Lamar Jackson, but then go and have your head coach go, Desmond Ridder.
Yeah.
That's our week one starter. And, like, be confident in saying that. Like, are you kidding me? And again, this is, like, going to be like, oh, you're hating on Desmond Ridder. That's not against Desmond Ridder. Like, we're talking about Lamar Jackson here, right? Like, you're hoping that the 2% chance that Desmond Ridder goes on and wins an NFL MVP, that's what you're hoping out of this guy. And there's a guy that's open. Again, obviously it's going to be tough to acquire him, but why not pursue it? Why not try, right? The fact that they're not even going after it, it just is so outrageous to me. And then you got the Commanders here, Ron Rivera. All the respect to Ron Rivera as a person, but as a head coach, I have no idea how he still has a head coaching job. I really do. To me, it's blasphemy. But he comes out and says, okay, yeah, we're going to start Sam Howell, but we don't want Lamar Jackson. But he also says today, but we haven't ruled out taking quarterback in the first round. So you're going to take who? Will Levis at wherever you're picking, because that's probably going to be the only guy that might reach there, and he might not even get out of the top 10. So you're comfortable spending your first round pick on Will Levis, but you don't want to trade a first round pick plus more for Lamar Jackson. Like, what's the direction here? And Sam Howell, a guy that you drafted in the fifth round, suddenly going to be, he played one game. He beat the Cowboys in week 18, and now you're going to be like, oh, this is our franchise guy. It's fishy to me. There's got to be something more, right?
Yeah. I really understand being weary about the contract situation, this fully guaranteed money, the idea of that. Yes, it's a lot to fork up, but let's not pretend like this guy wouldn't directly put you in position where you are now a contender, and I mean like a Super Bowl contender, especially in the NFC with how wide open it is.
Absolutely. Like, you're talking about, if Lamar goes to the Falcons, like, you got to be, you'd have to pick them to win the division, right? Yeah. Easily. And again, we're talking about an NFC conference that is outside of, you want to put the Eagles and the Cowboys at the top and the 49ers. What else is there after that?
You could argue Lamar Jackson, when he's on his A game and when he's healthy. And I know that's one thing. I mean, Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, he was all in on Deshaun last year. Everybody thought Deshaun Watson was going to the Falcons. Is all of a sudden now not interested in Lamar, which is weird. And he even spoke about how the situations are different and that Lamar's playing style has some teams worried, his availability. I think he said every game counts in this business. All right, fair. But this is a guy who, when he's healthy and when he's on his A game, he's probably the best quarterback in that conference right now.
Absolutely.
Who's the best quarterback in the NFC right now? If you're going off, you know, some sort of recency bias, prisoner of the moment, you might say Jalen Hurts. I mean, Matthew Stafford had a great season 2 years ago. Dak's there. Am I missing anyone incredibly obvious at this point? I don't think so.
No. I don't know. It's just such a fishy situation, especially these teams publicly coming out and saying, again, the Colts haven't, though. The Colts have been a team like, they're the wild card team because they make it seem like, okay, we're not in on Lamar, but they also...
But did you hear what Ursay said today about the guaranteed contract?
Yeah.
He said he doesn't... Those don't work out.
Yeah. Which, I mean, from a business standpoint, I completely understand. I get it. There's two sides to every story. And I get the whole guaranteed contract. I, for one, wouldn't hand out a fully guaranteed contract. Especially if we're talking $200, $250 million fully guaranteed. I think that's a little bit outrageous. But... there's got to be some leeway from, there's got to be a give from both sides, right? Like Lamar's side's going to have to give, and so is the team. They're going to have to give. That's what happens in contract negotiations. That's what's going to happen. And if Lamar wants a fully guaranteed contract, then he's going to have to take probably 3 years, $140 million like the Ravens offered, right? He doesn't want that. So look, Lamar, you take 4 years, 200 and whatever, and 85 to 90% of that's guaranteed. You got to take it, right? And that's sort of the give that, that's got to take. And whether that's from the Colts or that's from the Ravens, again, that's still yet to be seen. But the fact that the Falcons and the Commanders are publicly saying that they're not interested in Lamar Jackson, and the reasoning was because we had Desmond Ridder and Sam Howell. I mean, it's not verbatim. That's not what they said. But that's what their comments are suggesting. It's just, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, my whole issue with this situation is we haven't heard a report of another team, like, well, for example, the Deshaun Watson situation. First, it was Miami. Oh, Miami want him so badly. They're meeting with him. They're calling Houston. Then it's the Falcons are all in. The Saints are all in. Then the Browns came out of nowhere. There's not another team in this story. We haven't heard, like, the Colts are making an effort to meet with Lamar Jackson to offer him a contract, and they sort of want to see where his head's at, what he's willing to accept, what he wants. Nothing.
Nothing.
All that we've heard is that all Lamar has talked to is the Ravens. Every other team is like, you know what?
And he's got a fake agent. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that story was. I don't.
That was the weirdest story ever.
Read it.
That was the weirdest story ever. I saw that they were that I was a business partner was trying to negotiate, and the NFL had to send out a memo. But again, this just goes to show you how weird of a situation we got with this whole Lamar Jackson thing. And I mean, I don't see an end in sight. We joked upon it. This is probably the fourth straight week where we had a headline segment of Lamar Jackson. It could be longer. It could be 5-6. But who knows? This could be... I know we both said at the beginning of the show that we're probably going to start talking about the draft next week. But who knows? Maybe next Monday night we're going to be talking, oh, Lamar Jackson's new weight training line is catching the eye of Jim Irsay. He wants to sort of buy into the business. And, you know, maybe that's what we're going to have to talk about next week on the show.
You know, when NFL players sign a big contract, they have a big celebration, pop a couple bottles of champagne. When Lamar signs his contract, I'm going to celebrate like I just signed a $200 million contract because I'm just so sick and tired of hearing this. And I love how Harbaugh handled the comments on the podium the other day.
Oh, another thing. Was that calculated? Do you think that tweet was calculated?
Oh,
100%?
1,000,000%. I actually listened to a rap sheet. I don't want to say it was on the wrong show. I believe it was on Pat McAfee. He pretty much said that, you know, Lamar's team had planned this out. And he said they got lucky with planning it so that it was literally the exact minute. But they wanted that out before Harbaugh
started talking
to the media. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And Harbaugh handled that like an absolute
yeah, he did.
Pro. And well, I love how he just said, like, you know, we'll all forget about this when he's our quarterback week one. Hopefully that's the case. I do think the NFL would be best if Lamar is still on the Ravens.
Yes.
I do think that opens up so many rivalries. The AFC, like I said, it's a gauntlet. And then we don't have to talk about this anymore ever again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board with that, Pac. I'm on board. I feel like I'm about to let out like a big sigh of relief once he signs this contract. And I mean, I hope it's for our sanity's sake, because I don't want to be on the golf course in the summer and be having to check my phone all the time for when Lamar Jackson's going to sign this contract. You know, I'm a big golfer, but I don't want to be interrupted when I'm trying to shoot 64s.
That's impressive.
Right? No, I don't shoot 64s.
Trying to break 100 this year.
That's a lie. But, you know, I'm a pretty good golfer. Maybe one day we'll do CTB tournament. Maybe I'll have to give Pac a couple lessons before I put him on the public like that, because I know he's, you know, not the greatest.
Like I said, I'm trying to break 100. It's happening this year. I'm going to be shooting in the 90s. And yeah, I'll be shooting better if Lamar's
stress-free.
But anyways, guys, that's going to do it for today's episode. If you made it to the end, thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for listening. Appreciate all the support, and we'll see you sometime next week.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next Tuesday. CTB Show episode 27. See you guys. Bye.